I don't remember. I think we've done different things, actually. Case number 5, 22-237. Representatives from Bridgeport, please identify yourselves and spell your last names.
Sergeant Michael Segrist, S-I-G-R-I-S-T, Bridgeport PD.
And Nicole Lozada, L-O-Z-A-D-A. I'm in the pistol permits. I'm a typist one.
What's the last name you said?
I'm in pistol permits. I'm a typist one.
And Attorney Sherman, can you please introduce yourself?
Ralph Sherman, representing the appellant.
And whoever is speaking for Bridgeport, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yeah, we're just here on the continuation from the last time we were here.
You want to just give us something for the record?
That the appellant, they didn't receive all the paperwork and reports that we had, so. The previous issuing authority sergeant sent out a denial letter for the appellant. They appealed it. We showed up here for the hearing, and then on our end, we didn't send the appellant's attorney all the paperwork.
But what is the case? We're here. We didn't put any case. You didn't put any case last time. So start from. What do you intend to prove today?
Oh, that the appellant was denied due to suitability with numerous encounters with police, with their boyfriend or the father of her children or her husband. I don't know the exacts on it. And they wrote here for her boyfriend over a 3-year period. Violation of protective order and other domestic incidents. And that the sergeant deemed the appellant unsuitable.
Thanks, Attorney Sherman. You're welcome.
I'll pass, thanks. Thank you.
Okay. Sergeant, you may proceed with your case.
All right, so the previous sergeant denied her. We have here several CAD notes and several incident reports for the appellant. One of them stating on the CAD note from 2020 that it was a physical confrontation.
What's the date on that report, please? We're going to try to follow along this time since we're on the paper.
Well, do you want to do the CAD notes first or the police report?
Whatever. It's your case. Just tell me so I can find which paper.
From 2018, case 66815.
Okay, thank you.
That the appellant's, she was the victim stating that the appellant choked him and made several threats to him, and also that she would get people to shoot him. That was the main issue on that one.
Anything happen? Was there a...
The officer tried to make contact with the victim, but nothing happened on the case. No one got arrested or anything like that. I'm not sure if there was any detective follow-ups on this. So basically, the officer just made a written report and documented it. File number 41574. It was me, the complainant. said, both parties, again, were arguing.
Can you just hold up a moment, please?
Sure.
Sign the document. Thank you. 41574, thank you.
Correct. So it came in as meet the complainant. Basically, on page two, it said both parties were arguing. The officer also just documented this. No one was arrested. 2020, file 57299. Came in as a domestic. Both parties were arguing. We just documented again that no protective orders were active at this time. Both parties checked clear of wants and warrants. Again, 2020, file 57646. Came in as a harassment call. And the appellant stated that the suspect had a firearm, but wasn't threatened with it, but she had knowledge of it being in the house with two young children present. Proper documentation was done, DCF and family violence forms. 2021, file 40329, came in as a violation of protective order.
Who violated the protective order?
The appellant's boyfriend, I believe. So there's another incident there. And she referred to the previous incident in 2018 with a threatening shooting. Another domestic incidents, 93997, between the appellant and said party. Normal documentation. And in 2022, file 62805, the appellant put in a stalking complaint, but did not provide the officer with any proof of these calls or text messages. We documented it. 2020, CAD notes only, no official report written. But CAD notes that there was someone called in saying the appellant's boyfriend, they were arguing, to become physical. Officer arrived at scene and just noted that was a verbal argument. Another harassment, CAD notes only. The appellant via phone stating there was messages and texts, but did not provide any proof of that. The officer noted. And then 2022, there was a complaint by the appellant of threatening that the said party boyfriend was going to rape her via text and phone. CAD notes it was a verbal argument by the officer, and the counter complainant stated that the appellant, quote, will kill him and call our detective to show officers, but no report was written. So due to these numerous incidents, the appellant came in and noted that all the issues when her permit was denied the first time. I'm just worried that she would be labeled that someone thinks that she's going to be crazy. then the said party, excuse me, on the 2021 incident, 75055, the boyfriend came in saying she came in irate, but she was denied her pistol permit.
Senate?
Yes.
Attorney Sherman?
Thank you. Let's see, let's go back to, November 18, 2018. Allegation by Alexis Molina that the appellant choked him and threatened that she would get people to shoot him. You have this Alexis Molina here today to testify?
No.
Why not?
He didn't reply to our request to show up.
Oh, okay. You're aware of Alexis Molina's criminal record, right?
Not in detail, no.
Oh, we sent it to you. We didn't receive it. Faxed it over.
Yeah, it's in our file.
Okay. You're aware he has 5 convictions, including domestic violence, assault. He's disqualified for possessing a firearm, right? You're aware of all that?
Not in detail, but it looks like we have the same.
You mentioned a number of cases where police were called and there was a verbal argument. And that makes the appellant unsuitable, if there was a verbal argument?
Well, between all the contact together, the complete...
How does a verbal argument make, we're having a verbal argument right now, how does that make a person unsuitable?
Well, if you add on another firearm into that, it can escalate.
What other firearm?
The appellant's request to...
So people who argue shouldn't have firearms, is that your case? Or is it that victims of domestic violence shouldn't have firearms? Is that your case?
Not specifically, just overall, you know.
You're aware that the appellant has no criminal record, right?
Correct.
Okay. And she was irate because she was turned down for her permit. Does that make her unsuitable? This is your case. I'm just asking for an answer to the question, please. Does that make her unsuitable?
We believe that overall it's not a viable situation for her to have a permit.
So people who are victims of domestic violence and who are irate because they were turned down for their permit, shouldn't have permits, they're not suitable.
And not in this particular case.
You testified that the appellant reported July 29th, 2022 that Alexis had threatened to rape her. Doesn't the report say it was to rape her daughter?
Which one was that?
July 29,
22. Correct. Yeah, it was my mistake on that.
Okay. Twice she reported, and you testified, that this Alexis Molina had a firearm. He's a disqualified person based on his criminal history. But he wasn't arrested.
That's up to the officer on scene and the follow for the detectives.
But she can't have a permit. Okay. November 23rd, 2018, case incident report. Appellant showed officers multiple bruises on both knees as well as a bite mark on her right forearm.
Thank you.
case number is that?
It ends in, 8219, I'm hoping my eyes are telling me correctly. November 23, 2010. Doesn't that in the report, which I think it's, well, let me back up here. This report was written by an investigating officer, correct?
Correct.
Okay. If it says in the report, Arriaga showed officers multiple bruises on both knees as well as a bite mark, that means that was observed by one or more officers, right?
Let me see where it's...
Sorry.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, right here, right? Showed officers multiple bruises on both knees as well as a bite mark. That being in the report, stated as it is, indicates that one or more officers observed those injuries. Is that correct?
Yeah, if it's
okay.
Written down.
Doesn't that indicate that the appellant was the victim in this situation?
Correct.
Okay. I have nothing further. Thank you.
Does the board have any questions? Chief?
There were many cases you listed. Which ones show the appellant or at least accused of doing something wrong or illegal? Other than the first one that you mentioned, I think you said she...
Yeah, the first one was the initial, she was going to threat or shoot him.
Right. Other than that one, do any of them show, even alleged, that she did something illegal?
The risk of injury, possibly, for the one with, she knew that there was a firearm in the house. That was from 2020.
It wasn't her firearm.
Correct.
She contacted the PD?
Correct.
Was there a firearm in the house?
Did
the police seize it?
No, I don't see anything on here. Just that he, the said suspect, with was prohibited from carrying a firearm, but no one was arrested on that.
But she called to report that?
Correct.
So I guess how was that damaging to her? How was that? Sounds like she was trying to do it right. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong.
Oh, well. But she never mentioned it to the officers when they arrived on scene. Sorry about that. I missed that part.
All right.
She observed a firearm, but it wasn't threatened to her. They noted that the appellant never mentioned the firearm to the officers on scene.
Was her ex-boyfriend there?
Correct.
Would it make sense that she would not want to say that in front of officers, in front of an ex-boyfriend, that also has an extensive criminal history for violence?
Yeah, that's reasonable.
And so how did they find out about the firearm?
She stated that she told the dispatch that, yeah, there was a firearm involved.
Prior to the call? Like, when she made the call?
Yeah.
And dispatch didn't relay that to the officers?
They must have gotten that later on, because then they asked her, the appellant, why she didn't mention it. She said she already mentioned it to dispatch.
So dispatch failed to send that to the officers?
I believe so, possibly. Or they didn't retrieve it on the radio communication.
But it seems like she did report it.
Well, that's what she stated.
Well, yeah, but how did the officers find out that there's a firearm in the house?
I don't know. It doesn't say here in the report.
But it's in the report that there was a firearm in the house. They had to find out somehow if she didn't tell them.
Dispatch must have advised them while they were on scene or afterwards.
Did the officers ask her about the firearm?
It doesn't say that anything. They asked her, they asked, says, uh, It says, when asked why she didn't mention the firearms her officers on scene, she said she mentioned it to dispatch. No, the appellant never mentioned a firearm to officers on scene. That's what the officer wrote down.
So it sounds like she called the police, told them there was a firearm there, the police came, and she didn't specifically tell the officers that arrived.
Correct.
But she'd already told this one.
Correct.
Other questions? Seeing none, any other witnesses?
No.
I'm sorry, just to follow up with the chief's question, and we just want to know, were there any other than the 2018 case, then, were there any other... Any other cases in which the appellant wasn't the complainant? Let me just phrase it that way. So she wasn't the complainant.
Yeah, that's what she was talking. Just a counter-complainant for the Catter Marks of 2022.
She's on the counter, she was the initial complaint.
Correct.
The first call.
Yep. Those are the two main ones.
Any other questions?
So it appears, it appears with the number of cases that you listed, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, a couple reports from CAD, that you're forming an argument to say that, to support your denial. But so far we've seen it get pulled to pieces where the appellant seems more of the victim than the aggressor. So what overall are you presenting to say for a reason of denial to the board?
Just overall that if there's more incidents in the future that could possibly be a threatening of the firearms on either party.
Okay. So you're saying you're afraid of escalation?
Correct.
Okay.
Set with questions? As I sit here, being the preponderance of the evidence standard, does anybody want to make a motion or do you want to keep going?
I'll make the motion. since my last one tanked, I'll try this one. I'll make a motion to find for the appellant based on the fact that the issuing authority has not met the suitability threshold.
Motion made by Ms. Johnson at 11:12. Is there a second?
Oh, do we need some, please?
I'll second it.
Second by Colonel Overturk. Discussion on this motion.
I can understand the police department's concern for being concerned about inserting a firearm into a situation that 5 years, and to be honest, I'm not even sure if it was all the same two people involved. I don't know where the Mr. Lee, if he's in jail or what's going on, and if he still is part of the relationship or not, which may make a difference or not. I understand the concern of the PD, possibly inserting a firearm into that relationship. There's also a line in which denying a person's right to defend themselves in a volatile relationship. So that's a concern there. Just because a person is a victim over and over again, or denying their right to have a firearm because they're not being able to defend themselves.
It would seem to me that Mr. Molina is no longer in the relationship, and they haven't brought an argument that they fear that she's going to be a straw purchaser for anybody in particular. So having that completely out of the table, this is a person who clearly is just looking for a means to defend herself from the fun of Bridgeport.
Other comments?
I don't disagree with any of that, but
other comments? We'll call the roll on the motion. A vote in favor of the motion is a vote in favor of the appellant. I'll start on that side for Mr. Gray's proposal. Chief Rosenzweig. is against. Ms. Johnson?
In favor.
Colonel Overture?
In favor.
Mr. Gray?
In favor.
Attorney Sinetti?
In favor.
Dr. Conrad?
Although the cross-examination by the appellant's attorney was compelling, I feel to vote on this motion would be premature. I'd like to hear the appellant's case presented, so I'm voting no.
Chair votes in favor of the motion. Motion passes 5-2. At 11:15. Thank you all.
Thank you.